It's a great schus to have been invited once again to come to speak to all of you. It's a schus to see Rebbetzin Schechter. I'm always honored when she comes. And there's another woman here tonight, Mrs. Slamowitz, who has traveled with us to many, many different places in Europe. And I thank both of you and I thank everyone for making a special effort to come tonight. Tonight we are torn between two incredible events. Okay. On one hand, it's just a few days after the Shiva for those precious eight Talmidim that fell in Yeshivas Merkaz Harav. And how could Klal Yisrael not feel the pain and not feel the sorrow? And yet, we're just a few hours before Purim, which is a time of simcha, a time of great happiness, which it has always been. And so how do we reconcile the two? What is the proper approach that a Yid is supposed to have in these very difficult and contrasting times? It's very interesting that one of the most famous psukim in the Megillah is a pasuk that is understood not only for the derech hapshat, but for the deeper meaning as well. In the Megillah, Haman says to Achashverosh, in pasuk Perek Gimel pasuk Ches, Yeshnoi am echad mufuzar umafayrad beino amim. There's a nation that's scattered all over the world. These people there scattered and dispersed among the nations of the world. So the simple pshat is that Haman was telling Achashverosh, don't worry about making a gzeira against the Jews. They can never band together because they're so spread apart, they'll never come as a unit and they'll never be able to go against you. So Achashverosh, you have nothing to worry about. But Mefarshim say that there's a deeper meaning to why Klal Yisrael fell into a terrible matzav of tzara at that time. And that was because mefuzar umefayrad. Klal Yisrael had no achdus. Klal Yisrael was separated. People didn't really love each other. They didn't care for each other. And when there's a lack of achdus, chas v'shalom, that's the beginning of times of tzara. So it's very interesting. What was the tikkun for that Yeshnai Am Echad Mufuzar Mafirat Beno Amim? The Megillah tells us that Esther said to Mordechai, Leich Kenois Es Kol HaYehudim, gather all the Jews together. So in other words, it wasn't only gather in tefillah and gather in pain, but it was the deeper meaning, gather in achtus. In other words, there was Mufuzar or Mufayrad. That's why the tzoras was happening. And that's why Esther said, in order to undo that, it's Leich Kenois Es Kol HaYehudim, to bring together the achtos. I'm sure that many of you may have seen one of the most incredible letters written by a young fellow from England. He learns in a kollel in Harnof. And he wrote a letter the morning of the Levayas. He obviously made 8 copies. And he went to the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Weiss. And he asked Rav Weiss to give it to each of the families. And after the Levayas, Rav Weiss personally delivered to every family this letter. I'm going to read you just 2 paragraphs of it. He writes, the truth is that I am from abroad, from England. I am here learning in a kollel in Harnof. I did not know your son Yochai, and I didn't know much about the Yeshiva Merkaz Harav. But I'm writing to tell you that even though that I don't know you at all, your sorrow is my sorrow, your pain is my pain, and your loss is my loss. It's not just your personal tragedy, but rather the tragedy of all of us. We have all lost a brother, we have all lost a son, and I'm crying together with you. And then he ends the letter. I just wanted to add that I give you my word with no intention to vow, that just as this memory, as his memory, will never be forgotten by you, it won't be forgotten by me. And the memory of your son Yochai will always be before me. I pray that we know no more sorrow. It's a remarkable Gemara. A remarkable Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yosef was very sick. And he was so sick, Rashi tells us that actually he died and he had a vision of what was going on in the Olam HaEmes, and then he came back. Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't go so far. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Cholash, he was so sick, Che'ilu Porchan Ishmosa, he was in a comatose state, it was as if he had died. But then he came back to life. He was resuscitated and he came back from that comatose state. And his father, Rabbi Yeshua, asked him, My Chozes, what did you see up there? And then he asked him, Mashamata, what did you hear? Listen to the two things that he heard. The fact that these two are written together one after the other. When I saw the Gemara, I couldn't get over it. The first thing he said, Ashrei, fortunate, is Misha Bolakan v'Talmudei b'yadai. Fortunate is the one who comes to the Olam HaEmes and his learning is with him. What does it mean? That a person always has to chazer and review everything that he learns, so that when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, he understands and he remembers everything that he learned. It's not good enough just to learn it once, but a person comes, Talmud HaBiyadai, he actually reviewed it and he remembers it. Ashrei Misha Bolakan v'Talmud HaBiyadai. Fortunate is the one who comes with the learning in his hand. When I saw this Gemara, and I saw the terrible pictures that we all saw, with the Gemara soaked in blood, and the Svarim soaked in blood, those young boys that were learning in the library, and they were literally the boys that came, Misha Bolakan v'Talmud HaBiyadai. They literally came to Shemayim with the Gemaras in their hands, the bloodstains Gemaras in their hands. But listen to the next Gemara. The next Gemara tells us, Vishamati, I heard, Haruge Malchus. Haruge Malchus means those that were killed only because they were Yidden. They were killed by secular governments. Ein Adam Yochal Lamed V'Mechitzasan. No one can stand in their surroundings. In other words, if Chas V'Shalom, somebody is killed by a Goyish government, by the Arabs, Yimach Shemam, only because he's a Yid, such a person is so holy that Ein Adam Yochal Lamed B'Mechitzasan, nobody can stand in their enclosure, in their surroundings. So those two Gemaras, those two thoughts that Rabbi Yossi heard in Shemayim, that is so apropos and appropriate and filling and fitting to those eight tzaddikim. And just once again to mention their names, Doron, Roi, Yonadav, Yochai, Yonatan, Neria, Segev, and that precious face of Avram David. Anybody who sees that face among the eight, you could just cry just from seeing his face, the purity of that face. And I'm sure some of you have already heard about that Ethiopian tzaddik. If you haven't heard it, you must see it. You must read about this guy, who actually came to the yeshiva a number of years ago. He was the oldest of all of them, of all those that were killed. He came to the yeshiva a few years ago, and they didn't want to take him because he was too old. He came from Ethiopia. He didn't have a background. And he said he wanted to become a dishwasher. So they took him as a dishwasher. And at night he went, and he learned, and he listened to shiurim. And then he came to the Rosh Yeshiva to be fahered, and the Rosh Yeshiva was saying, what do you mean you're going to fahered? You wash dishes in the kitchen. And he said, no, trust me. And he fahered him, and he saw that he was a baki in the Masechta. And of course, then they took him into the Yeshiva. So my question that I can't get out of my head is, how in the world could such a thing have happened to Shchoidesh Adar? Shchoidesh Adar? V'shenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. Chazal promised us, right? V'shenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. When Adar comes, a person is going to be with simcha. We increase our simcha. How could such a terrible thing have happened to Klal Yisrael Dafka on that day? What message was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to send us? And I heard something recently that I believe is Emes Lamitai. A man, Rav Avram Shor, said this in the name of the Sfas Emes. An incredible insight in a Gemara, which we all know but never thought to understand it this way. In Tainis Choftes Amir Aleph, it tells us, Kishem, Kishemashanichnas Av, Mematin B'Simcha, just like in the month of Av, you minimize the Simcha, Kach Meshanichnas Adar, Marbe B'Simcha. That's how in Adar, you add the Simcha. What's the Kishem? What do you mean, just like? It's two separate things. In Av, we celebrate, or we commemorate, I should say, the Churban of both Batei Mikdashos. So therefore, we're Mematin B'Simcha. And then, when it comes Adar, we're Marba B'Simcha. What's the Kishem? What is just like? And the Sfas Emes says a Gavaldik Avort. And that's our theme for tonight. And that's how we have to remember these terrible events in connection with Purim and the tshuva that we have to do and the improvement that we have to make. When the month of Av comes, and we are mematin b'simcha, we minimize our simcha. Why? I believe you know why? Because why don't we have the Beis HaMikdash? Because of sinas chinam. So any of us who felt the pain on Tisha B'Av and felt the pain of Adar, that there was mematin b'simcha, that we were minimized our simcha because we didn't have the sinah, we didn't have the avas chinam anymore. And if we didn't minimize our pain because of that, if we didn't feel that lack of achdus, then mishenichlas adam marbim b'simcha. How are you going to do marbim b'simcha if you didn't feel the pain? It's only somebody who felt the pain of Tisha B'Av, then kishem, like he feels the pain of Tisha B'Av because there's no achdus, then he's zoicha in adar to be marbim b'simcha. But if a guy could go through Tisha B'Av and feel, what's the difference? I don't have to worry about everybody else. I'm doing fine. Eventually the Beis HaMikdash will come back and everything is okay with me. So if somebody doesn't feel the pain of Av, then how in the world could he feel the joy of Adar? So I want to show you what it means to feel the pain of another person. And it's so interesting because this incident happened on Purim itself. I had this chus a number of years ago to speak with Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal is the Rosh Hashivat Yeshivat HaKotel. So we had a wonderful, wonderful discussion. And then he told me that every day he had this chus to learn with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman was the Godel Hador. And they would learn every day 4 o'clock in a basement someplace. Nobody could interrupt. No telephones, no knocking on the door, no interruptions. They learned every day for a half hour, 3/4 of an hour. Nobody could interrupt them. So I said to Rav Nevensal, so I imagine that then you probably knew Rav Shlomo Zalman very well. So I said, could you please do me a favor, tell me what's the nicest story that you know about Rav Shlomo Zalman? So he said, I'll tell you something that I said over at the Hesped. An amazing thing that he said about Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said there was a girl in Yerushalayim that had a broken engagement. And she was devastated. And she wanted that her father should take her to Rav Shlomo Zalman to get a brocha, that she'll meet her right zivug, and that she'll be able to get married and build a bayis naman b'Yisrael. And this father, for whatever reason, he was always busy, he was always delayed, and he never got around to doing it. So it happened that it was the day of Purim. Purim, he wasn't working. So she asked him again, please take me to the Rav Shlomo Zalman so I should get a bracha. He said, okay, today I'll take you. But you know, these guys who delay every day. And even on Purim itself, he delayed. So he waited till late afternoon. By that time already, Rav Shlomo Zalman had already started eating the Suda with his family. But this guy came, he promised his daughter, so he comes to the house in Shar Chesed, and he knocks on the door, and he sees that Rav Shlomo Zalman's already in the dining room. So he feels terrible, he goes inside, and he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I promised my daughter I would bring her here for a brocha. She has a broken engagement, and maybe the Rav could give her a brocha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, let her wait outside, I'll come outside and I'll talk to her. Or he said, Oy vei chas v'shalom, Rebbe, you're in the middle of the Suda with the family and all, I don't want that you have to interrupt. He said, no, I'm going to go out to her, just tell her to wait for me, I'm coming in a moment. Okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman goes out, and any of you have ever seen a picture of him, or some of the older people here had the schus to see him, he was such a warm, loving, kind person. And he spoke to the girl, he understood that she was devastated. He gave her a very, very warm Hartzika bracha, and he told her that she'll find the right zivug, and she'll build a bayis naman b'Yisrael, she'll be a mother in Klal Yisrael. And she was so overwhelmed with his kindness and his sweetness that she burst out into tears, and she was crying. So Rav Shlomo Zalman turned to the father, and he said, now you understand why I wanted to come out to her, not that she should come into me. Because I understood that she might cry. And imagine how embarrassed she would be if she had to cry in front of all the family, all my family members. Rav Shlomo Zalman is the Godel Hador. He has to worry whether this girl's going to be embarrassed in front of everybody in his family. The guy's interrupting him in the middle of his meal. He doesn't belong there in the first place. But an Adam Godel thinks a step ahead and understands who he is and what the reaction is to his words. And that's what Achdus is all about. That's what friendship is all about. Not only saying what is off the cuff or off your lips without thinking how another person receives it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman understood that he is a great person. And that girl might feel so overwhelmed that she's going to cry. So he did it in such a way that she shouldn't feel embarrassed. Let me tell you one of the greatest stories I ever heard. I'm in the middle of writing another Maggid book. And if anybody has any great stories, please call me or email me. You might be in the next book. But I can just tell you, 98 out of 100 stories I can't use. Because they have to be universal, as you'll see this one in a moment. But I'm a nice guy. I listen to everybody. So you can just send them in, call me, whatever you like. But if you can, if you got the story, I'm ready to listen. Listen to this. It's absolutely incredible. You'll see what Klal Yisrael is all about, and you'll see what Achdus is all about. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a man. His name is Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb. Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb is a man who has not missed the minyan in decades. Wherever he travels in the world and business, he always finds the minyan. He'll go to the business offices, he plans it in advance, he knows exactly where the minyanim are. So it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. He comes home from a wedding, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he realizes, oh my goodness, I didn't daven ma'ariv yet. And if he didn't daven ma'ariv, obviously he didn't daven ma'ariv with a minyan. Where's he going to find a minyan at 3 o'clock in the morning? So if you're in Flatbush, you go to Landau's. And if you're in Borough Park, you go to Shemesh Shabbos, right? After you finish the date. But then what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do in Yerushalayim? So in Yerushalayim, there's a place called Zichron Moshe. I'm sure Rabbi Reichman is here. I thank you for coming. He knows where Zichron Moshe is. So Zichron Moshe is also like a minyan factory. They have minyanim all day and all night. So this guy comes there at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:15 a.m. He walks in, he sees one guy sitting there. He says, did you daven ma'ariv yet? He says, no. He says, you think we'll have a minyan? He says, what are you talking about? In an hour and a half of Kavasikin, they're going to start daving Shacharis. You know, I think it's too late already. We missed it. So this guy says, I haven't missed a minyan in years. I can't go tonight without davening with a minyan. Listen to what he does. You won't believe it. He calls an Israeli cab company. He says, send me 8 taxis with 8 Israeli drivers. Imagine an Einfall of a guy. So the guy says, 8 taxis, 3 o'clock in the morning. Who's got 8 taxis? He says, how many you got? He says, 5. Says, send me 5. Calls up another cab company. Send me 3 cabs, only Israeli drivers. 10 minutes later, you got 8 cabs lined up outside Zichron Moshe. All the drivers are sitting outside. Where's the bar mitzvah? Where's the chasna? What are we doing here? Who are we taking home? So he tells everybody, start your meters and come inside. They all start the meters. It reminds me of like the Indianapolis 500, start your engines, right? Everybody start your meters, okay? And they come inside. And he says to them, listen, Rabbi Isai, I will pay no matter what. I don't care what it takes. I will pay every single one of you. But I need you to daven ma'ariv together with me. We need a minyan. And then I'll pay you whatever it is. So some of the guys were frum guys. They knew what ma'ariv was. But some guys, you know, secular Israelis, they never daven ma'ariv in their life. They know how to read Hebrew. That's why he wanted Israeli drivers. So it took 25 minutes and they finished ma'ariv. They finished ma'ariv. He goes over to the first guy who came, a frum guy. He says, how much I owe you? Check your meter. He says, sir, I've been davening all my life. Never in my life did I daven with such a minyan that a guy is willing to pay 8 cabs for all this time. I feel it's such a holy minyan. I wouldn't take a penny from you. So he goes to a secular Israeli. Secular Israeli says, sir, I haven't davened in years. Tonight, you allowed me to daven with such a minyan. I feel so grateful to you. I should pay you, not you should pay me. And not one of those 8 guys took a penny from him. They all got out 3 o'clock in the morning. They all had their meters running. But they understood what it means to love a fellow Yid when a fellow Yid does a mitzvah b'shleimusa and with simcha. So what's a way that we can begin changing as we approach Purim? That we should bring simcha in our lives. That we should bring achdus in our lives. And you know, there's an expression. Some say the Vilna Gaon was the first one to say it. Others say it's more from Hasidish sources. That Yom Kippurim, there's an element of Yom Kippur and Purim that's the same. So I was speaking to my Rebbe Rav David Cohen. He mentioned you find a girl by both of them. Sel Azazel, you find a girl. You find a girl by Haman. So there are many, many different comparisons. But perhaps the idea of tshuva, just like it says, by Yom Kippur, a person cannot get kapara from Hashem totally, because he can only get Benodom Lamokai, Benodom Machaveirai, a person still has to ask the person for Mechila. So maybe one of the ways, Leich Kenoises Kola Yehudim, is that we have to begin reassessing our relationships with other people. You know, I once heard, I have a friend who's a marriage counselor. That's not why he's my friend. He happens to be my friend. But anyway, So this marriage counselor once told me, he said, do you know what the three most important words in marriage are? So, of course, everybody thinks they know, right? He says, no, it's not the three that you think. And he says, it's not even yes, my dear. It's not even that. So I said to him, what are the three most important words? So he said, I was wrong. I was wrong. And if a person can say that they made a mistake and they were wrong, so they can cement a relationship. And that works for marriages, and that works for friends, and that works for co-workers, and that works for Klal Yisrael. So I remember one time I was speaking about marriage, and I told over this vort that my friend, the marriage counselor, said the three most important words in marriage are, I was wrong. Right after the speech, I see a guy go over to his wife. He said, you hear what the rabbi said? You were wrong. He really got the message. But the point is, I want to show you something, an incredible thing. I have a dear friend who lives in the Syrian community in Flatbush. His name is Harry Ashkenazi. And it's interesting. His name is Ashkenazi, but he's a Sephardi. Fine. And Harry is the nicest guy that you could possibly imagine. A wonderful, wonderful person. So he told me this incident that happened with him many years ago. He was about to go to a wedding. He was on the way going to a wedding in Shaare Zion, which is on Ocean Parkway. Some of you have seen it. It's called the Dome. That's what it looks like a planetarium. But he was on a long line of valet parking. And, you know, the Russian guys, they take the cars, you know, so you inch up until you get till they're going to take your car. So he was on the line. He told me a very, very long time. 6 minutes already he was waiting. And he was mamish getting impatient. And the lady in front of him, she was not moving up her car. You know, she was busy talking to somebody else. You know, the next car would move up, but she was just standing there. So Harry got impatient. He wasn't going to blow the horn, but he went in front of her, and he took the spot that she was supposed to have. And Hashem helped, but that was the last spot that valet parking had for that night. So now that poor woman had to look in the streets of Flatbush. She had to go find a parking spot. So when she came into the chasana, and she found Harry Ashkenazi, she had some choice words for him. Okay, and they avoided each other the rest of the night. Now, as I told you, Harry is the nicest guy you could imagine. So this happened in February. Right before Yom Kippur, which is in October, Harry is going through the year, and he's trying to think, who did he hurt in any way that he has to ask for mechila? Person before Yom Kippur has to ask for mechila, has to have a clean slate. And he goes through his business associates, no, he's clear with everybody. Goes through his family, clear. Oh, he remembers that lady, oy vey vey. And she's not even so religious as he is, so he doesn't really know her that well. But you know, every Jewish community has its own telephone book, so he looks up her name, and he calls her up. And he says, listen, I don't know if you remember me, but back in February, you know, I was behind you on the line, and I took your spot, and you know, you were very upset, and I shouldn't have done it, and I was wrong, and please forgive me, because it's before Yom Kippur. You're supposed to go to the holiday with a clean slate, because otherwise you can't get kapara, he said. You can't get forgiveness. So she was amazed. She said, wow, I didn't know that. I can't imagine you remember from so many months ago. I forgot about it a long time ago. Of course, I forgive you. It's no problem. He said, please, you're sure you forgive me? Because after all, before Yom Kippur, you got to have a clean slate. She says, yeah, for sure. It happened months ago. It's no problem. Fine. She was so amazed. She didn't even know you're supposed to do this kind of stuff. You're supposed to ask for forgiveness. So she starts thinking, you know something? Maybe there's a few people I have to call. And then she remembers, oh, that third grade teacher that her daughter had, PTA night, she really gave it to that teacher. So she called the teacher, she called the rabbi, she called the grocer. She was on the phone the rest of the morning. You know, she already had who to ask. 2 years later, Harry Ashkenazi's daughter was read a shidduch to this lady's son. And this lady said, Harry Ashkenazi, such a nice guy that he can ask months later. He's so sensitive that he still wants to be forgiven months later for something that he did. That's the one that I want my son to marry into that family. And sure enough, they got engaged and married. And now they both share the same grandchildren. Why? Because a person was able to say, I was wrong. Now, I want to tell you a story that I'm humiliated to tell you, as you will see in a moment. And I don't want anybody to try to figure out who the Rosh Hashiva was involved here, because it's not really that important. But still, it's going to show us something incredible. Wherever I go, usually, especially on a tour or any place I go visit somebody, I'm always taking my camera. Now, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, of course you take your camera. And this goes back a number of years ago. The best time in Eretz Yisrael to be there is, of course, on Sukkot. the days before the Yom Tov, to be in Geula and Kikar HaShabbos. You just stand, the whole world is going by. It's unbelievable. Rebbetzin, you remember I took you in and your husband, Zalzang Yisun, to Rabbi Yisrael Grossman. It was incredible. So, sure enough, I'm there with my camera, and it's Cholamoid, the nights of Simchas Beis HaSheva. And my son-in-law says to me, he wants to go to one of the Rosh Hashivas where he learned, because, you know, to dance, sing and dance. And I had heard that Rosh Hashiva, Taka, it might be speaking that night. I had seen him before. I'd given him money because my son-in-law had learned there. So I said, you know what? That'd be a great idea. I never heard him speak. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So I'll go in. Again, you know, we'll listen if he's Taka going to be speaking. So I walk in. Everybody's singing and dancing. And it's very, very Lebedik. Simchat Beis HaSheva. Every night's in a different place. And then the Rosh Hashiva is sitting down. And he's sitting right over there. And I walked up to him. Now, things happen so fast that I've tried to relive this 1,000 times. I still can't picture exactly how it happened. So I know for sure that I was holding my camera. Now, I still don't know if I picked up my camera to take a picture of him or he just saw my camera. All I know is that he jumped up and he started yelling in front of everybody. Was nennt man da Bilder? What are you taking pictures here? We don't need you here with your pictures. I was so humiliated. I wanted the earth should open. I would be like, Kairach, fall in, close it up. And that's finished. I mean, you know, didn't he know me? For heaven's sake, I'd seen him a few times. I still don't know what he was angry at. Whether he held Cholamoid, you're not allowed to take pictures, or he didn't want anybody to take pictures of him. All I know is I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I was so humiliated that I couldn't even tell my wife when I came home that night what happened. I was so hurt by it. Fine. Okay. A year goes by. My kids were still learning in Eretz Yisrael, girls in seminary, so I went again to Eretz Yisrael. One of the nights, Chol HaMoed, my son-in-law says to me, Ta, you know, I'd like to go to the yeshiva for the Simcha Beis Yosef, you want to come? I said, I'm a little tired tonight, you know. I said, but I'll tell you what, if you want to go, I'll be very happy to drive you, I'll drop you off, and, you know, either call me and I'll pick you up or you take a cab home. So, we go to the yeshiva. And he says, listen, the Rosh Hashiva is there, I'd like to stay. So I said, okay, fine, good, go inside. And he tells me, the Rosh Hashiva is there, he's going to stay. Okay, I'm in my car, of course, I have my camera right next to me. And I'm thinking, you know, there's no way I'm going in. It's crazy, I'm going to go home. But then, just as I was about to leave, I thought to myself, you know, I shouldn't be a baby. The Gemara says that if you can't go to be Oyla Regel, you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, the next best thing is go to the Tzaddikim of the generation. And you get a bracha from them. Now, this Rosh Hashiva is a very big tzaddik. Everybody knows his Torah. So, you know what I'm going to do? I thought, I'm going to take my camera. I'm going to put it underneath the seat. I'll make sure the door's triple locked. And I walk inside, just say good Yom Tov, out. They'll say good Yom Tov to me, hopefully, and just get out. I'm finished. But to be so close to an Adam Godel and not to say good Yom Tov is not right. Fine. So, I take the camera, I stuff it underneath the seat, and I go inside. Okay, I go inside and the Rosh Hashiva is in the middle dancing with everybody, with his staff and the people, Talmidim, and I don't know them, so I'm not going to join the dancing. And then he sits down. So he's sitting here and I'm standing here. And people are just standing there watching him. I don't know what they're watching. They're watching him breathe. They're just looking at him. Okay, fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm standing here. All of a sudden he turns and he sees me. And he jumps up. He jumps up and he says in Yiddish, Ich warte, I've been waiting for you. And I'm wondering, where's his gun? I'm like, what's he waiting for? You know, like, wow. So then, you know, I didn't know what he wanted. And he said, the Rambam says that there where you did the Aveira, that's where you have to do tshuva. Last year I embarrassed you. I'm sorry. Tell me that you forgive me. The Rambam says right where you did the Aveira, that's where you have to do the tshuva. I was speechless. And for me to be speechless is a great accomplishment. I couldn't believe it. He says, come. He takes me by the hand. He says, sit next to me. Tell me that you're Moichel me. And he says again, the Rambam says, well, you did the Aveira, that's where you have to do the tshuva. I said to him, Rosh Hashiva, how could you remember? How do you remember? I remember, but how could you remember? So he says to me, I couldn't believe this. He says, I know you were here in the middle of the summer. I called, I sent somebody for you. You didn't come. Of course I didn't come. I thought he wanted money. I wasn't going to give him money. I couldn't believe that he actually was calling for me. But now he said, listen, tomorrow night, I'm making you a special Suda in the Sukkah. I want you to come, and you'll sit next to me. And then I realized how great he really is. Because anybody, I mean, I'm nothing, mamish, nothing, compared to him. And he, in front of all his Talmidim, is moida that he made a mistake and he embarrassed someone and is asking somebody for mechila to say, I was wrong? That man is an adam gadol ad miyoid. He didn't have to do that. But what a great lesson in midas, and what a great lesson in humility, and what a great lesson in achdus. And that's really what it's all about. I'll tell you one more story. What does it mean when somebody can say, I was wrong? It's incredible. In Long Island, there's a pizza shop, a Chol of Yisrael pizza shop. So, in this place, in Plainview, many of the business people from Suffolk County, Nassau County, they come there for lunch. So it happened a while ago that there was a guy with a trimmed beard. He walks in and he wants to order a pizza. And as he's standing at the counter, he says to the lady behind the counter, he says, is that Paul? So Goyish fellow there behind, he was flipping the pizzas. So she says, yeah, that's Paul. He says, I have to speak to him. He says, you can't speak to him. See how busy this place is? You can't speak to him right now. So he says, no, I have to speak to him right now. And he raises his voice, you know, and everybody is around. You know, it's crowded. Everybody hears him raise his voice. Everybody gets quiet. And she realizes, this guy's not going away. So she calls over Paul. She says, Paul, this guy wants to talk to you. So this fellow with the trimmed beard says, Paul, do you recognize me? He says, no, I don't think I ever saw you. He says, Paul, take a good look. You don't recognize me? He says, no, I don't think I know you. He says, Paul, tell everybody, because now everybody was listening, tell everybody why you got fired. Let's call it Shimon's Pizza. It wasn't from Shimon's Pizza. Why you got fired from Shimon's Pizza? So now the guy gets angry. He says, I'll tell you why they fired me. Because they didn't believe that I didn't steal $300. Those Jews didn't believe me. I'm a family man. I would not have taken a penny. They accused me of stealing, and that's why they fired me. And this guy says, Paul, take a look at me. You don't recognize me because when I was working with you, I had hair down to my shoulders. I'm a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is somebody who's repentant on what he did in the past. Paul, I'm the guy that took the money. And I've been looking for you for 3 years. And I want to give you the money back. And Paul says, he starts crying. He says, you don't owe me the money. You took it from the boss. He said, I paid him. But I know you couldn't get a job because every time they called, they told people that you stole the money. And I feel that I owe it to you. And everybody saw, oh, that's what Achdus is all about. That's what relationship is all about. When a person can say, I was wrong. As we approach Purim, and we read, Am Echad, Mefuza, Mefayrad, each and every one of us, in our families, in our classrooms, in our dormitories, in our workplaces, in Klal Yisrael, we have to reassess, are there people that we've hurt? Are there people that we did things wrong to? Yom Kippurim, Purim is like Yom Kippur. You want to have simcha? You want to have contentment in life? Then we have to be Lech Kenois as Kala Yehudim. And I want to tell you another thing. It's very interesting. My Rebbe said an amazing vart. My Rebbe Rav David Cohen, we all know the famous vart. How did Klal Yisrael, how were they Zoicha to be Makabel the Torah at Har Sinai? So everybody knows, it says in the Pasuk, in Shmois Yutes Pasuk Beis, Vayichan Shom Yisrael. Klal Yisrael rested there. Now really, it should have said Vayachanu. It should have said they rested because there were many people. So Rashi says, Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Why does it say Vayichan Loshen Yochid? So my Rebbe asked, we know the famous Gemara, the Pasuk tells us in Esther, in Megillah Esther, test Pasuk Chav Zayin, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Yidden, they upheld and they accepted. Kimu v'kiblu ma'ashe kiblu kvar. Kimu, they were makayim. That which they were, that which they accepted once before. There was a new Kabbalah Satayra. So my Rebbe asked, where was there the Achdus? Where do you see the Achdus by Purim? And he said an ingenious word. Take a look at it at the end of Megillah. You'll see when you read the Megillah, it doesn't say kimu v'kiblu. It says kimu v'kibel. We read it kiblu. There's a kri and a ksiv. It just says kuf beis lamed kibel. That's a loshen yochid. That's what it symbolizes. So by Purim also, again, there was an achdos. We read it, kiblu, that's the Lashon Rabban. But there's another interesting thing. If we're talking about kimu v'kiblu, being Mekayim the Torah, one of the ways to be Mekayim the Torah, it's mentioned in Ovos, there are 48 ways to be to accept and to adapt Torah to yourself. One of the ways is Noisei v'Oil Chaveiroi. That's the 37th way. Noisei b'Oil Chaveiroi. And you know what's incredible? If you take a look at how the Tiferes Yisrael explains, how do you feel the burden of your friend? So there's four ways. One, B'tirchas Aguf. Okay, we understand. A guy's got to fix a flat tire. He doesn't know how to do it. So you bother yourself and you actually go and you fix the flat for him. You take him to the airport. Tirchat Aguf. You did something with bodily. Hoitzos Mama. And the second thing, you spend money for him. You lend the guy money. You give the guy tzedakah. That's nice. The guy's out. He's a financial problem. That's the second way. Tzar Nafshay. Tzar Nafshay means your heart feels pain for him. Your soul feels, you're daven for that person. If you're not a doctor and somebody's sick, how are you going to feel his pain? You're daven for him. Somebody's looking for a shidduch and you can't help him, but you can daven. You feel the pain. Tzar Nafshay. So fine. Somebody has a child that's going off the derech. You can't do it. You're not a psychologist. So, Tzar Nafshay, you daven. So we have three ways. Tirchas Aguf, Hoitzos Mamayin, and Tzar Nafshay. But listen to the fourth way. It's the most incredible thing. Kishachosar Seichel L'chaveiroi. When your friend is missing Seichel, Binyonim Zmanayim, in temporary things, Oinitzchiyim, or eternal things, L'yochush Malahatriach Es Atzmoy L'yohatzoy, don't hesitate to give him advice, L'lamdoy L'toyvosoy, V'oylam Hazeh, V'oylam Haboh. To teach him things not only for this world, for the next world. Kiruv. Kiruv is part of Neisei Bo'el Chaveiroi. Who would ever have thought of that? Tirchas Aguf, I understand. Neisei Bo'el Chaveiroi. Hoitzos Mamayin, Tzar Nafshay. But there are so many people out there that feel empty. Is there one person here who doesn't have a second or a third cousin that's not religious? They're lacking. They feel an emptiness. Before Purim, give them a call. Give him a call, invite them to a suda. Part of Noisei Ba'ol Chaveiroi, part of the Achdus and Klal Yisrael is Kiruv. You don't have to be from Eishat Torah or Sameach or Ura or Jep or NCSY. You don't have to be from a Kiruv professional. Each one of us knows people that are chalashing, that are empty. And don't be embarrassed. You call them before Yontif. Tell them it's a happy time. We want to get together. You send them Shalach Monas. Maybe this year you should be makabel on yourself to send shalach monas to somebody you never thought you were going to do it before. Because we have to be together. And part of together is bringing the beauty of Yiddishkeit to those people who don't know about it yet. You know, Chofetz Chaim once spoke at a convention at a Knesset Gedola. He was the first speaker. Of course, he was the Adam Gadol. And then at night, he asked, he wanted to speak again. So people were wondering, how could they let him speak again after all? You know, there's a whole program. There's a whole program of people. How could he do that? But listen, you know, he said that he wanted to do it, so there was no way that they could stop him. And listen to what he said. Amazing thing. He said that he heard people say, after he spoke in the morning, that how could they go out to be Makar of other Yidden? It says, K'shoyt ha'atzmecha v'achachach k'shoyt ha'cherim. First, improve yourself, and then you'll go out and prove others. So a lot of people said, they were criticizing my speech this afternoon, the Chofetz Chaim said. They said, well, first we'll become big Talmid Chacham, and we'll perfect ourselves, and then we'll go out and be Makar of others. So the Chofetz Chaim gave a tremendous marshal, and we have to remember this marshal. The Chofetz Chaim said, you know, there was a man who once built a town along the seashore, and he built a whole city, and then once the city was up and running, they invited him to a big Suda. He comes to the Suda, and at the end of the Suda, they serve him tea. And he drinks the tea, and it's awful. It's awful. This water is so salty, it's awful. So they said, it's not our fault, it's your fault. You built a city right by the seashore. By the seashore, all the water is salty. He said, you guys never heard of a strainer? Take a strainer, you strain out the salt, and you'll have purified water. Oh, he never heard about that. A few weeks later, he hears that half the town burnt down. He comes running, he says, what happened? They said, you know, there was a fire. But you told us every time we're supposed to use the water, we should strain it. So by the time we strained the water, half the city burnt down. So the guy said, you're a shaita. When there's a fire burning, you use any water you can. So the Chofetz Chaim said, when the fire of Apokursus is burning, when the fire of Amaratsis is burning, when people don't know anything, and people are agnostic, and people are against Yiddishkeit, you got to do whatever you can. Can't wait till you're going to be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world to go out to be the father. You got to do whatever you can. And you have that second cousin or that third cousin or the Jew down the block or your co-worker. You have to go out and be makar of them. That's part of the achdus. That's the leich kenoises kol ha-yehudim. And that's what it means. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is telling us. I'll tell you an amazing story that happened in the DP camps with the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, after the war, He was helping so many, many different people, and it came Erev Yom Kippur. It came Erev Yom Kippur, and he was preparing for the Yom HaKadosh. And he was in his room alone. And there was a little girl that knocked on the door. And he asked her to come in, and he said, "How could I help you?" Listen to what she said. She said, "Rebbe, every Erev Yom Kippur, my father used to give me a bracha. My father and mother were taken. They were killed during the war. I don't have anybody to give me a bracha. Could the Rebbe please give me a bracha, Erev Yom Kippur?" So the Rebbe said in Yiddish, "Ichel sein dein Tata, I'll be your father." And he called her close. He put his hand over her head. And he gave her a warm, meaningful bracha. She was so touched, she ran outside. And she told one of her other friends that was also Nebuch Yisayma. And she also came running into the Rebbe. She said, "Rebbe, I also don't have a father anymore. Could the Rebbe please give me a bracha?" And of course the Rebbe gave her a bracha. He put his hand over her head and he gave her a bracha. 87 different girls came in, literally, till the time of Kol Nidre, to get brachas from the Rebbe. That's how a person prepares for Yom Kippur. That's how a person prepares for Purim. Yom Kippurim, it's an Indian of Achdus, it's an Indian of Kapara, it's an Indian of Leich Kenois, as Kol HaYehudim. Then we can undo Chas V'Shalom, the Mu'am Echad, the Mufuzer Mufayrad, Beino Amim. So how do we go through these difficult times? So I want to tell you a very personal story. When I was 21 years old, my father, Shalom, passed away. He was a Moyel. I'm the oldest of 7 children. And when I was already the beginning of my 21st year, we already realized how sick my father was. I had to leave the yeshiva, and he taught me Mila. Of course, I had learned it over the years, but now I really concentrated on it. But before he passed away, I came here to Washington Heights once for a Shabbos. I was by Rav Schwab. You see, Rav Schwab, before he came to Washington Heights, he was a Rav and a Rebbe in Baltimore. He was a Rebbe in the yeshiva called Ne'er Yisrael, and my father had studied there. And my father became very close to him. So my father was in one of the hospitals not far from here. And so my brother Kalman and I, we were by Rav Schwab. So I remember, it was after Musaf, we davened in the Kehillah, and then I went to the hospital. And then after I came home from the hospital to eat the Suda with Rav Schwab and his wife, Rav Schwab said to me, "How's your father?" So I said, "I have betochen that he'll be well." Listen to what he said. He got so stern with me. And he said like this, "Betochen does not mean that your father's going to be well. Betochen means that whatever Hashem wants to happen is going to happen, and it's a master plan, and hopefully one day you'll be able to understand it. But it does not mean that your father is going to be well." And he taught me a great lesson in life. There are many people that say bad things don't happen. That's not true. Terrible things happen. Young people die. Husbands die. People are sick. Children die. Terrible things happen. So how does a person live with it? You know why? Because we have betochen. We have faith that Hashem knows what He's doing. And then when we see the master picture at the end of time, then we'll be able to understand it. And that's really what it's all about. That a person is not supposed to lose faith even in the most difficult times. After the Second World War, when the Ger Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael, was the Imre Emes, and they asked him, write a letter to all the survivors of Ger, all those people in Poland that came, and as many of them Nebuch were killed, but some were able to survive, and some came to Eretz Yisrael. Listen to the letter that he wrote, again in a Hasidic vein. And it's a pasuk, obviously, that we all know so well. But listen to his taich. He writes, to our dear brothers in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world who have been spared from the sword, in whatever place you may be, Hashem should be with you. He says, people of Hashem, be strong. He says, the main thing is to know that everything comes from Hashem. And he taiches b'derech drush, vahi erev, those times of darkness, vahi voiker, and those times of glory and happiness, it all comes from that source of light, which is from Hashem. We have to understand that even the worst of times, Vahi Erev, it's just like the best of times. Vahi Voiker, it's Yom Echad, it comes from one source. Most of you are probably not even old enough to remember the terrible incident that happened with that remarkable young soldier, Nachshon Waxman. Nachshon Waxman was kidnapped by the Hamas a number of years ago. And the whole world was trying to get put on pressure that they shouldn't kill him. And it was an Erev Shabbos, it was on Friday, and they had him, and the whole world was tumbling about it. A And finally, on Motzei Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan, everybody heard the terrible news that this young soldier, Nachshon Waxman, had been killed. And then there was the Levaya. And at the Levaya, his father, Rabbi Yehuda, said something, one of the most incredible things that was ever said at any Levaya. He said, "We were all davening to our Father in heaven that our son should be kept alive. The whole world was davening that our son should be kept alive. We all davened to our Father in heaven." And he said, "A father has a right to say no. No is also an answer." So sometimes when something happens bad, no is also an answer, but that doesn't mean that there's no father. That means that he has a master plan. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting. Eoy had a taina, and I wouldn't even be able to say this, except that we find that the Gemara in Bava Basra Tezayin tells us. Eoy said, "Rabbeinu Shalaylam, Shema Ruach Sa'ora Ovra Lefanecha, maybe a whirlwind came and you got mixed up, and you don't know how to spell my name? My name is not Oyev. Oyev means, it means an enemy. Alevov Yudvez. My name is Eoyv. How could you get mixed up? You think I'm your enemy? Why are you doing all these terrible things to me?" So Eoyv had a kasha. And then, of course, Hashem says to him, "Eifah Yisa Vios Diorets. Where were you when I founded the world? Hagev Im Yadata Bino. You tell me if you're so wise." In other words, betochen means that sometimes we go through a terrible matzav in Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we go through a terrible matzav in the family. We go through a terrible matzav in a workplace. But there's a master plan. And if a person has faith and he hangs in there, and people give chizuk one to the other, we can get through anything. But a person is never supposed to lose the faith and understand that vahi erev, vahi voiker, that the yom echad. I want to tell you two more things. There's a very interesting medrash. The medrash tells us that if you look at the parshas Vayeshev, the whole Vayeshev is talking about Yosef. Yosef and the dream, Yosef being sold, Yosef down by the Saramashkim, the Saraoifim, the whole Maaseh with Poitifera. And then what happens? Right in the middle it tells us, Yehuda went down from his brothers and he goes and he meets Tamar. So Rashi asks, what's this doing over here? In the middle of Vayeshev, that's all talking about Yosef. All of a sudden it brings in about Yehuda. So Rashi tells us, quoting the Medrash, the brothers minimized Yehuda from his standard. That's why it says, Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down. They said to him, "Look, you're the leader, right? How come you didn't have the foresight to see that Yaakov was going to be in such pain? Look what you did. You let us sell our brother, and now our father is crying." And the Medrash says, Yosef was crying. Yaakov was crying. Reuven was crying, because he was the oldest and probably also felt responsible, and he felt bad about what he did with Bilhah. Yehuda was sent away. What's Hashem doing? So I would have thought, when the Medrash is asking, Yosef's crying, Yaakov's crying, everybody's crying, what's Hashem doing? So listen what the Gemara, the Medrash says. The Medrash is in Pehei, Aleph, and Bereshis Rabbah. Hashem is Oisek Boirei Oirei Shamelech HaMashiach. Hashem's planning Mashiach. Everybody's crying. Everybody's devastated. Such a terrible thing happened. The father doesn't see his son for 22 years. The son is down in Mitzrayim. It's the beginning of the end. No. That's the beginning of the big end. The end, which is Mashiach. And that's what the Medrash is telling us. Sometimes in the worst times of travail, we're crying because we can't see the big picture. But Hashem is putting this whole picture together, and he's bringing the light of Mashiach. And I want to tell you a story, a beautiful Hasidic story, and then we'll end with a great thought. Listen to this beautiful Hasidic story. It has a great meaning. There was once a Rebbe that was traveling, and he went with a group of Talmidim, and they stayed in a hotel. They checked out in the morning, and the Rebbe says to the innkeeper, he says, "There was a clock that chimed in my room. Every hour it chimed. That's got to be a very holy clock. Who owned that clock?" So the guy says, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a clock like anybody other clock. It chimes every hour on the hour." He says, "No, I'm telling you. I know that it's a holy clock. Somebody special owned that clock. You got to find out." He says, "Why? Why do you say it's holy?" He says, "I'll tell you why." He says, "You know, every night when I hear a clock chime every hour on the hour, it's so depressing to me because it means I'm 1 hour closer to death. So another hour has gone by, another hour has gone by, and I feel so depressed and so deflated every time I hear the chime on the clock. But this night, every time I heard that clock chime, I felt so elevated because I realized we're 1 hour closer to Mashiach. And sure enough, the innkeeper found out that this clock was owned in generations before by the Chayzer of Lublin. But the truth is, both things are right. Every hour that goes by, at 10 o'clock, we're 1 hour closer to death unless Mashiach comes. But at 10 o'clock, we're also 1 hour closer to Mashiach. So how does a Yid look at life? A Yid has to look at life that even the most difficult times, Yosef is crying, Yaakov is crying, Yehuda is down, Reuven is out, Hashem is building Mashiach. Maybe we can't see the picture. Surely we can't see the picture of the terrible tragedies that happened last week. But maybe there's a lesson here. Maybe there's a lesson that the reason, just like by Purim, Klal Yisrael went through the difficult times because they were Mofuza Mofayrat Ben Ha'amim, and the Tikkun was Lech Kenoises Kol HaYehudim. That's what we have to make a commitment tonight. That's what that terrible tragedy taught us. Klal Yisrael was united during the Shiva and hopefully until Mashiach comes. And I just want to end with this magnificent, beautiful story. At the end, when it tells us that Yosef sends his brothers back to his father, the pasuk tells us, Bereshis Mem Hei Chav Dalet, Vayishalach Es Echo, Vayalecho, he sent his brothers, Vayomer Aleim, and he said to them, Al Tirgazu B'Dorach, don't get agitated in the way. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Al Tisasku B'Dvar Alocha, don't get involved in learning because you're going to talk in learning and you'll get confused and you might get lost. So when I saw this Rashi, I was wondering, what is Rashi talking about? How could Yosef have thought that these guys are going to talk in learning? They got to go home now. They got to tell their father, you know, we lied for 22 years. We told you that Yosef was kidnapped. He was never kidnapped. We sold him. And we told you that Yosef was dead. Chayaro, you know, ate him up. No, it never happened. What do you mean? How could they think and learning? They got to make up a story. They got to make up a reason why they lied and why they fooled him all these years. How could that be? What was Yosef thinking? And I'll tell you what I think Yosef was thinking. At the end of the war, once again in the DP camps, in one of the Italian DP camps, there was a man, his name was Rab Aaron Paperman, he was a chaplain. And he would go from camp to camp trying to help people, give people medicine, give people money, give people information about relatives. And one day he comes to this camp in Italy, and he's all decked out in his uniform. And it's a long line of people, and there's one guy, he says to the chaplain, he says, chaplain, I need something from you. He says, whatever you need, what can I help you? He says, could you get me a Baba Kama? He says, a what? He says, chaplain, you never heard of a Baba Kama? He says, what do you mean? Of course I know what a Baba Kama is. You know, I learned in Tells. This guy happened to learn in Tells in previous years. He says, but, you know, I'm here to help people with medicine, with relatives, with money, you know, with clothes. He said, listen to me, this guy says. 4 years ago, I was in my kitchen in Hungary. And I was in the middle of learning Baba Kama, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they came and they took me, and I haven't been able to open a Gemara in 4 years. You get me a Gemara, I'll nurse myself back to health. And Rabbi Paperman told his family that he taka closed the office that day, and he went to a library that had been ransacked but not burned completely, and he found the guy at Baba Kama. And the guy taka nursed himself back to health, and he came to Flatbush, he came to Brooklyn, and taka built a family. How did that happen? You know how it happened? Because there's a pasuk. And that's the pasuk that I want to leave all of you with. In Tilim Yutes Pasuk Ches. Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nefesh. Torah Hashem is so perfect. It consoles the heart. It consoles the soul. And that's exactly what Yosef thought. Yosef understood that his brothers were in such a state. How are they going to calm down? How are they going to relax? They're going through such a tough time. They have to make up a story now. They have to make up an excuse. You know what they're going to do? They're going to start learning. And they're going to have a yishuv adas. They're going to feel comforted. They're going to feel their peace. Their soul is at peace. And then they'll be able to come up with the right idea. And that's the final way. The kimu v'kiblu for this Purim has to be that every single one of us that undertakes to learn a little bit more, every girl that undertakes either to learn or to observe mitzvahs in a different way, a little bit more than before, that's the Meshivas Nefesh. The Torah of Hashem is Tamima. The Torah and everything about it is perfect. It's Meshivas Nefesh. We're going through difficult times. Terrible, terrible times. With Hamas and Twin Towers that was years ago. And now with this terrible thing in Merkaz Arav. How do we have the tranquility of life? It's Torah Hashem Tamima. That's what Purim is all about. Kimu v'kiblu. Let us make a Kabbalah of Torah and Mitzvahs. Let us make a Kabbalah of Achdus. Lech Kenois is Kol HaYehudim. So we should be Zeicha to the ultimate Kinus of Kol HaYehudim together with Mashiach. B'meir v'yameinu. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for listening.